I want you to turn in your Bibles tonight, and I would like to read to you from Luke chapter 2, the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2, please. I've been thinking all week about the matter of peace and some of the things that are connected to the Christmas story that deal with the peace and the joy that men experienced when the Lord Jesus was born. And I want to tie a few things together tonight with the story of the shepherds and the story of them coming to Bethlehem. And I want to entitle the message tonight, Silent Night. You'll see why in just a little bit. But let's begin reading in verse 1. You follow along in your Bible. If you need a Bible, there should be one in the hymn rack in front of you, and you may feel free to use it. But Luke chapter 2 and verse 1, the Bible says, "And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds." I'm going to stop reading right there. And I want you to pray with me right now, and then I want to speak to you tonight a message I've entitled, Silent Night. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you from the depths of our heart for all your goodness and your blessings to us. Lord, we're thankful that one day, 2,000 years ago, you sent your only begotten Son into this world to be born in Bethlehem's manger, God in the flesh. And Lord, we're thankful that our Savior came and lived and then died on the cross as a penalty for our sin. Lord, when we could not save ourselves, you came and you provided a way of salvation for us. And Lord, we're thankful for what the Lord Jesus has done. And Father, I ask now that you will bless this message as I try to reflect upon some of the things that were accomplished when the Savior came. And Lord, help us to realize our need tonight of a relationship with the Son of God. And Lord, I pray that you will touch our hearts tonight. And Lord, that you will use the message to be a blessing. And we'll thank you and praise you for what you do. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. A few minutes ago, we sung one of the greatest hymns that has ever been written, one of the most popular of all the Christmas carols, and that was the song Silent Night. The story behind the song is that the fellow that wrote it, a fellow by the name of Joseph Mohr, was from Austria, and he went to a Christmas Eve service one night and then left the service and was a little discouraged because he was the organist for the church. And when he got to the church, the organ was being repaired, and therefore he was not able to play that night. And he was a little discouraged and a little sad. And as he walked on the hills back to his home on that Christmas Eve, he looked out over the village in which he lived, and he noticed just how calm everything was. And he stopped, and as he was making his way towards his house, he stopped and just thought about how calm and how peaceful it was. Looking over the snow and looking over the houses, there was no movement, there was no wind blowing, and the words to the first verse came to his mind: "Silent night, holy night." And he thought, you know, that's probably the way it was for these shepherds on the night that Jesus was born. And that's why the second verse deals with the shepherds. If you will notice, when we sung the second verse a little while ago, it was about what was in the hearts of those shepherds. And so as he proceeded on home, he kept coming up with words that just seemed to rhyme just instantaneously. Everything just worked so well. And so as soon as he got home, he started to put it all down. And as he was writing it down, he was amazed at how quickly the words came to him. He then took the words to a fella whose name is also in the hymn book, who is the guy that composed the music. And when he showed him the words, instantly Mr. Gruber sat down with a guitar and picked out what became the melody of the song that we now sing today, Silent Night. And here's the first verse. You know it well, but let me just quote it for you. Silent night, holy night. All is calm, all is bright. Round yon virgin, mother and child, holy infant so tender and mild, sleep in heavenly peace, sleep in heavenly peace. You know, there's just something that is calming about the words of that song. And what you ought to do sometime is just sit down and read all four stanzas without singing it. Just read it, and you'll see how calming it is. Every time that I have taken a trip to the Holy Land, we go just outside of Jerusalem, and the bus has to stop, and you have to get off the bus and go through a security checkpoint, because Bethlehem is now in Palestinian control. And you go through the checkpoint and walk just a few more feet, and you get on a bus that takes you down into what they call Manger Square. And it is there that the Church of the Nativity is the traditional birthplace of the Lord Jesus. You go into that church from a courtyard, and you walk into a large room and notice that way down front is an altar and a platform. And as you make your way to it, you see a hole in the floor, and they will show you the original tile that was there from the 5th century, back when the church was built. And then you proceed to the front of the church, and off to the right a little bit is an old set of stairs. And you go down those stairs, just a few stairs, and you come into what they call the grotto area. It is in this area that you see all these little stalls that are just kind of etched and built into the rock that the church is built upon. And this, they say, is the traditional site. Nobody knows that for sure, but they say that this is the traditional site where the Lord Jesus was born. Now, to be honest with you, it is always a little disappointing to go to this place. It's always a little disappointing because of the gaudiness of it. They have candles everywhere and lanterns everywhere and pictures hanging everywhere, and it just kind of takes away from it, in my opinion. But then outside the church, there is another place that I need to tell you about. You go outside the church just a little ways, And walk down, not too far, but down the hill. And there's a big iron gate on your left. And when you go through that iron gate, you see a house. And you then turn to the right. And there's an olive. There's a bunch of olive trees, just an olive grove. Dozens and dozens of olive trees. And when you walk out there just a little bit, you notice that you're on a ridge. And when you get out just probably about halfway through it, you are able then to see through the trees. And when you see through the trees, you notice that you're really on the top of a ridge that is looking out over the Judean hills. You, on a clear day, can look out and see the edge of the Dead Sea from that ridge. And it's an amazing sight. Now, you've got to be really careful as you walk through that area, because this area is known as the Shepherd's Fields. And they call it that because this is the traditional site of the place where the shepherds were as they were watching over their flocks by night. And the reason that you have to watch and pay attention is because along the ridgeway, along the hillside, there are these openings. And when you get to one of them, there's really no warning. There's no sign that says be careful or watch your step. You're just walking along, and all of a sudden there's an opening. And as you walk below it and look inside it, you'll notice a set of stairs. They are hewn out of the rock. You'll notice that the ground is compacted. And then you hear the story of how that for thousands of years, the shepherds of Judea have taken their sheep and have taken themselves out of the weather by going into these little holes in the ground, these little caves. And they call this place the Shepherd's Fields. Now, whether or not that's the traditional place or the real place where the shepherds were on the night that the angels appeared to them and announced to them the birth of the Savior, we do not know. But I do know that every time I visit Bethlehem and every time I go to the Shepherd's Fields, it always thrills my soul to stand there and to relive this passage of Scripture and to have in my mind the things that the Bible has to say about that special night. And every time we go, we always sing the song, Silent Night. We always sing the song because of the fact that the shepherds were in the mind of its author. And the song says, Silent Night. But you know, when you read the scripture here and you think about the shepherd's field, the truth is the angels filled the skies, and the sounds of praise and glory to God echoed all over the hills that night. I'm really not sure how silent it was, especially out on that ridge. But every time I visit, I think about the shepherds. And you know, for all of us, Christmas is a time of from Thanksgiving to Christmas is a time of chaos. It's a time of last minute everything. It's a time of once it's over, you're really kind of relieved that it's over. And you know, we look forward to Christmas, but then in the midst of it, we get so busy and we get so rushed that it's almost like we can't wait to get it over with. But I want you to think back to that wonderful night 2,000 years ago, to that first Christmas. There was something very peaceful about that night. There was something very serene, something very calming about that evening. And it is my desire tonight in the message to reflect upon that silence, to reflect upon that calm, and to try to find what it was that brought peace to the hearts and joy to the hearts of these shepherds. Well, I can tell you in one sentence what it was. The Lord Jesus came into the world. And that's what brings the joy, and that's what brings the peace. One of the surrounding themes of this whole story is the peace and the joy that was in the hearts of these shepherds that night. I want you to think about that. Luke tells us that they were so filled with joy and excitement, they said, let's go to Bethlehem. Let's go see this thing that has happened. And they came with haste. And they came to the place where Joseph and Mary and the baby Jesus were resting. And I want you just to put yourself back in those caves, in those stables that morning. I want you to put yourself in that situation. And I want you to imagine what must have been in their hearts when they entered into that stable. I have no doubt, but they went in and saw this newborn baby. They saw him wrapped in the swaddling clothes, which are grave clothes. That's what swaddling clothes are. They're grave clothes, which was fitting because he was born so he could die. But lying there in a manger, realizing as they stood and looked at him that this was the Son of God, that this was the King of Kings, that this was God in the flesh, realizing that this was the Savior. You say, Pastor, how do you know that's what they were thinking? Because that's what the angel of the Lord told them about the one that was born in Bethlehem's manger. So I want you to think about the peace and the calm. Not it was this last Wednesday night after the service was over. I went over to Baker to see my two grandchildren that my son and and my daughter-in-law have given me. The newborn, 6-month-old, was in Joshua's arms. Her name is Jenna, and she was in her daddy's arms, and I walked in, and of course Josh knew why I was there. And so I walked over and I stood in front of him, and he just reached out and gave her to me. When I took her in my arms, I cradled her close, and I looked down into her face, and I smiled at her, and I said, "Hi, baby girl." And she smiled back from ear to ear, and then in one instant, just like that, she closed her eyes and went to sleep. I mean, instantly. I said, "Hi, baby girl." She smiled, and then her eyes went closed, and she was out. Now, how do you do that, for one thing? I do not know how you do that. I would love to be able to do that. But she went to sleep just like that. So calm, so peaceful, and I could have stayed there all night long and just held that baby in my arms watching her sleep. And so peaceful, and yet, as I was sitting there holding her, I thought, here she is just in perfect peace. She has full confidence. She has full assurance that her grandfather is going to hold her and is going to take care of her. She just had full confidence that, boom, she's gone. Just like that. And I can imagine when those shepherds went in and saw the Lord Jesus, after what they had just experienced on that ridge, having heard the angels and having been spoken to by the angel of the Lord, that they had absolutely full confidence, and that in their heart was a calm. In their heart was a peace, because they were standing and looking at the one that they knew to be the Prince of Peace. Silent night, holy night, all is calm. How could it be calm? It was calm because of who was there. Now, there are a couple of things that I want to call to your attention tonight on this matter of the Lord being bringing and giving peace. I want you to think of it in light of these shepherds, but I want to give you just a couple of thoughts tonight, and we'll be done. First of all, this peace This peace that these shepherds found. This peace that these shepherds had in their hearts. This peace is what the world is looking for today. It's what the world is looking for today. We often hear people speak of peace, and peace will never be found until we are willing to come to the Prince of Peace. It'll never be found. I remember back before I was saved, and the Lord was speaking to my heart. The Lord was drawing me to Himself. And we had just moved from one town to another, about 20 minutes apart. And my mother sold our house, and we moved up to where to a town where there was a good church that preached the gospel. And I found out later that my mother's whole intention of that was so that that she would have a good church to take us to. And I had to leave all my old friends. I was 16 years of age, and just as wicked and evil in my heart as I could be. And I remember having a discussion with a friend of mine, and I said to him, you know, when we move and I have to go to another high school and I have to make all new friends, when we move, I said, I'm going to straighten up. I'm going to change a lot of things. I'm going to quit going down the road that I'm headed on. And I remember having the discussion with one of my friends about that. I did not realize that what was going on in my life was the Lord was working in my life and drawing me to the Savior. I did not know that at the time. But I never found the peace that I was looking for with the reforms that I made in my life. There was about a 3-month period before, from the time we moved until the time I got saved. And I did everything I could to make the change and to make the reform on my own. I never found the peace in the reform. I never found the peace in turning over a new leaf. I never found the peace in selecting a new set of friends. I never found the peace until that morning that I heard the gospel of Jesus Christ and stepped out of that aisle and walked down that aisle, got on my knees, and called upon the name of the Lord. And that is when I found the peace. For you see, folks, the truth is, peace can only be found in the Prince of Peace. No doubt that great Christmas carol was written by a man who had found that peace. You could not describe the peace that is described in Silent Night if you did not already know it in your heart. But what is peace? Let me give you just two little quick things I think will help describe it and define it for you. What is peace? First of all, peace is the absence of conflict. Isn't that right? I mean, when you think about it, peace is the absence of conflict. And there is not a greater conflict than the one that is taking place. Listen to me now. There is not a greater conflict than the one that is taking place in the heart of a person who has not been born again through the precious blood of God's Son. There's not a greater conflict that is taking place in a man's heart than the battle that you have with sin. I've told you this before, but on that morning that I walked down that aisle and got on my knees and prayed and asked the Lord to save me, when I got up from my knees, I did not shout. I did not run the aisles. I did not do cartwheels across the front. I did not put my hands in the air. I did not cry. I did not do anything. I just simply got up from my knees after asking the Lord to save me, and I went like this. Whew. And I had peace in my heart for the first time. I couldn't find it through reform. I couldn't find it through getting new friends. I couldn't find it through stopping this or not doing that. I could not find it through anything other than through the one who is peace. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ. Peace is the absence of conflict When you get saved, the Lord solves that conflict that is going on in your heart between you and the devil. There's a second thing peace is. Listen to this. Peace is the absence of a threat. It is not only the absence of conflict, but secondly, peace is the absence of a threat. You see, if someone says there is peace, but then you have to live in constant fear that you're going to be attacked, that's not peace. That's not peace. And the wonderful thing about the peace that the Lord gives is that it is lasting peace. You know, reform does not last. Once I trusted Christ as my Savior, I am forever, eternally in His hands. And that's lasting peace, folks. I am here today and just as saved as I was 38 years ago when I got up off my knees down in Charleston, West Virginia. I am here tonight with just as much assurance and confidence and peace in my heart that if something should happen to me, I'm going to heaven to be with the Lord, as I had all those years ago when I first got saved. You see, once I trust Christ as my Savior, I am forever, eternally placed in His hands. That's what He said anyway. I'm going to take His word for it. He said that we are taken and put in His hand, and then God's hand is put over that. And He said nothing can get us out of God's hand. That's good to know, isn't it? That means a man can't get you out. That means a preacher can't get you out. That means you can't get you out. That means the devil can't get you out. You're eternally in His hands. The absence of a threat. Man, I tell you, I believe with all my heart that once you're saved, you are saved. I believe that. Man, I'd hate to think that my salvation was a foot race between me and the devil to the pearly gates, wouldn't you? I'd hate to think that. No, sir. I'm eternally secure. Billy Sunday used to preach, and he would say that I am so secure in Christ. He said I could swing over the fires of hell on a spider web, singing Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound. That's how secure I am in Christ. Folks, when you get saved, you've got peace in your heart. You've got the absence of conflict. You've got the absence of a threat. Boy, I tell you, if you don't know that peace tonight, you need to know that peace. Could this peace be what you're looking for? I really do believe that everyone is looking for peace in their soul. I really do. I believe that. And it is on this night, Christmas Eve, every year, when we think about the birth of the Savior, that there just seems to be the aura of peace hanging over it. Seems that each year, this is a silent night, holy night, and all is calm and all is bright. The peace and the calmness of this night can be yours if you will put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. But you see, folks, it's not the time of the year. It's the person this time of the year focuses on. It's not Christmas Eve. It's Jesus where peace and lasting peace is found. And boy, the good news is that peace is available to each one of you here tonight. Jesus said, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you." And I just sure wish that if you're here tonight and you don't know Christ as your Savior and you don't have that peace in your heart, I hope that you'll call upon Him and let Him give you His peace tonight before we leave. There's a second thing that I call to your attention. I want you to understand that the Bible presents Jesus as the Prince of Peace. This is not just my interpretation of it. The Bible says that He's the Prince of Peace. You see, when Isaiah was given that great prophecy in Isaiah 9:6, the prophecy says, "For unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given." I want you to know that the first two parts of that prophecy have come true already. The son was born, the child was born, and the son was given. Jesus was born in Bethlehem's manger. We have the story here before us tonight. The Son was given, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. And the Lord Jesus went to the cross. He was given by God Himself. But then the prophecy goes on. And the prophecy tells us that His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And there it is, the Prince of Peace. And I want you to know that the Bible presents Jesus as the Prince of Peace. Now, why is that? I'll tell you why. Because He is the only one who is able to deliver it. That's why He's called the Prince of Peace. You see, you might come and talk to me, and I might be able to talk to you for a little while and help you feel a little bit better about life or about yourself. But you know, I can't give you what Jesus can give you. You might come in here to church Sunday morning. You might come in here on Sunday morning, and you might stand and sing when we sing, and listen to the choir as they sing, and listen to the special music, and listen to the message that is given. You might come in here and sit and listen for the whole service and say, well, I feel better about myself. Well, I feel better about life. But you'll walk out these doors, and something will take it away from you. Probably won't be long. The devil will be out there waiting on you. But folks, listen, you come to the Lord Jesus, and He'll give you a peace that I can't give you, that this church can't give you. He'll give you a peace that nobody else can give you. You might read somebody's article. You might read somebody's book. You might get a little peace for your soul for an hour or two. But the Lord Jesus gives eternal peace. And that's why He's called the Prince of Peace. What a wonderful Savior He is. As a matter of fact, folks, the Lord Jesus is He's God. And that's why He's able to give us what only God can give. And that's our peace. But now notice this prophecy for a minute. It says, and His name shall be called. His name shall be called. Now the first two parts of this prophecy have already come to pass. The child was born, the son was given. But Isaiah said, and His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Now let me ask you, is His name called Wonderful today? Oh, it is by us, but not by the world. They use His name as a swear word. They use His name to curse. His name shall be called. It shall be. I want you to think about the Prince of Peace. And I want you to think about it. His name shall be called. Prophecy says He shall be called. Can I remind you that the first time He came, He said, think not that I am come to send peace on the earth. I am not come to send peace, but a sword. Matthew 10:34. And I don't know if you realize it or not, but most of the wars that have been fought throughout history are really wars about Him. They're battles about Him. And it's sad. His name is not called Wonderful today. He is not called the Prince of Peace today. But His name shall be called. Now, that got me to thinking. Well, then who calls Him the Prince of Peace? Well, first of all, we do who know Him as Savior. Because I know what He did for my heart. We call Him the Prince of Peace. I think there's two applications to this matter. First of all, think about its future fulfillment. And He shall be called the Prince of Peace. You see, when the Lord Jesus returns to this earth, and when He establishes His millennial kingdom, He will rule Jerusalem for 1,000 years as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And when He does, the peace that has eluded the world for so long will finally be realized. Think about it. If you look at man's history, this world has been nothing but a battlefield. It has been nation against nation, people against people, religion against religion. It's been the story of mankind from the beginning. There has been no peace. But his name shall be called. When is that peace going to come? Is this new president going to bring peace? No. My goodness. Carter couldn't do it. Reagan couldn't do it. And Bush couldn't do it. And Clinton couldn't do it. And the other Bush couldn't do it. And the new guy ain't going to do it. Ain't going to do it is West Virginia, for it's not going to happen. No, man is not the author of peace. God is the author of peace. And when the Lord Jesus comes back, there will be peace upon the earth. That's why he's called the Prince of Peace. But those of us who are saved today, we know him as the Prince of Peace, don't we? Sure we do. Man, I've been preaching for a long time now. I have seen thousands and thousands of people come to Christ in 32 years. And for all who call upon the name of the Lord and get saved and their lives are changed and transformed and they're redeemed and they're changed from death unto life and sin is forgiven and grace is extended and victories are won and their lives are completely turned around and they get a peace that they couldn't get from any other source. That's why he's called by us who know him, the Prince of Peace. I can stand here today and tell you he's the Prince of Peace in my life. I can tell you that. And you can too if you're saved. I'm amazed at how many of you have done a 180 since you were saved. Since you got saved, your life has completely changed. You're not what you used to be. You're not what you're going to be. But thank God you're not what you're used to be. What you used to be. And your friends have noticed that change in you. Your family has noticed that change in you. Was it me that changed it? No. I don't have the power to do that. Was it the church, the open door, that gave you that peace and that made that change in your life? No. Church, the open door doesn't have the power to do that. You know who changed you? It was Jesus, the Prince of Peace. It was the Lord that changed you. Oh, it was a wonderful night when Christ was born. And these shepherds, they come running because the angels filled the sky. And the angel of the Lord said, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior." And man, they couldn't wait to find him. And when they found him, they were filled with joy. My dear friend, I want you to know, when you find him, you'll be filled with joy. He'll give you a peace that you've never known before. That joy that you've never known before. And that's what the Lord is all about. That's why this is such a wonderful night. Do you know him as your Savior this evening? Do you know the Prince of Peace? And my dear friend, if you're here tonight and you've never trusted the Lord as your Savior, that peace that he has is available for you today. Now, before we close the service tonight, I want you just to think with me. Just, if you would, everybody just bow your head for just a moment. And let me say just a couple more things, and then we'll sing and we'll be gone. But while your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed, I want you to think about your relationship with the Lord Jesus. I want you to think tonight about your personal relationship with the Prince of Peace. Do you know him as your Savior? Do you know him as your Savior? You see, the Bible says that all of us are sinners and therefore we need a Savior. The Bible tells us that if we, by faith, will call upon the name of the Lord, believing in our hearts that he is who he says he is, that he came and died on the cross, that he was buried, and that he was resurrected on the third day, just as the scriptures tell us. If we believe that Jesus died for us, and we trust Him as our Savior. We trust Him to pay our sin debt. If we believe that, the Bible says that we shall be saved. You can know Him tonight. You can know this Savior. You can know this Prince of Peace. And that peace that He has will be given to you free of charge. Doesn't cost you a dime. I don't know why anybody wouldn't want that gift. I don't know why anybody would say no to that. And that's what the birth of Christ is all about, that He came to die for us. He was born so He could die. And He died for you. Now let me ask you, dear friend, you just personalize this. Look into your own heart and ask yourself, if I were to die today, do I know for sure I'd go to heaven? And my friend, if you don't know for sure that you'd go to heaven, then you need to ask the Lord Jesus to forgive you of your sin and to save your soul. If you don't know for sure, you need to make sure tonight. You say, well, Pastor, how do you do that? Well, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you will call upon the Lord and ask Him to save you, He'll save you. It's just that simple. You say, that sounds awful easy. It is easy. You think the Lord would want to make getting saved and so you can go to heaven difficult? Of course not. He did all the difficult stuff. He came and died for you. All He's asking you to do is believe in Him. So on this silent night, on this night before Christmas, why don't you receive God's gift? You know, we'll open presents tonight or in the morning, and we'll enjoy that. Everybody enjoys getting a gift. Well, God gave you the greatest gift ever when He gave you His Son. Why don't you accept Him tonight? While our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, if you're here tonight and you don't know for sure you're saved, I'd like to help you pray, and you can receive the Lord Jesus tonight as your Savior. I want you to mean it. I want you to pray it in your heart, and I want you to mean it. But if you'll pray this prayer and ask the Lord to save you, He will save you. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, would you just pray with me right now and say, Dear Heavenly Father, I realize that I'm a sinner and that I need to be saved. I understand that I need the Lord. And right now, by faith, I call upon the Lord and I ask the Lord Jesus to come into my heart and forgive me of my sin. Lord, I repent of my sin and give my heart to You. And Lord, You said, if I call, You would save. So Lord, I'm calling upon You now and asking You to save me. And Lord, thank You for saving my soul tonight. Now with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, if you prayed that prayer with me tonight and you meant it in your heart, you meant it. I want you to raise your hand right now and say, Preacher, I prayed with you tonight and I asked the Lord to save me. Raise your hand and hold it up where I can see it and let me rejoice with you. Would you lift your hand and hold it up? Say, Pastor, I prayed with you tonight and I meant it. Yes, thank you. Anybody else? Anybody else? Just hold your hand up where I can see it. Say, Pastor, I prayed with you tonight and asked the Lord Jesus to save my soul. Anybody else? All right, another one up here. Good, good. Thank you. Anybody else? Over here. Good, thank you. Anybody else? Pastor, I prayed with you tonight and asked the Lord. Thank you, ma'am. God bless you. I see your hand. You may put it down. Yes, ma'am. God bless you. Anybody else? Pastor, I prayed tonight. I asked the Lord to save me. Anybody else? All right, now with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, please, I want you to stand with me and we're going to pray and then we'll sing. Our Heavenly Father, thank You so much for loving us and giving Your Son, the Lord Jesus, to come to this earth and to die on Calvary's cross for our sin. Lord, we realize that He is the Prince of Peace. We realize that He is the one, the only one, who can save us, redeem our souls, and give us an eternal home in heaven, the only one. Lord, I want to thank you for speaking to at least five people tonight. And Lord, that they by faith called upon your name. And Lord, you saved them tonight. Thank you for that. Lord, help them now to grow as a believer. Help them to grow. And Lord, help them to get in a good church where they can learn the Word of God and where they can learn the things of God. And Lord, I pray that you will just bless them richly for receiving Christ as their Savior. Lord, thank you so much that the Lord Jesus Christ came to this earth. Lord, we'll spend eternity thanking you for this wonderful gift of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Father, I pray that as we sing, and Lord, these who prayed tonight and Lord, who called upon your name, Father, may they step out of their seat and walk down the aisle and make a public profession and let everybody here know that they prayed and received Christ. Lord, what a blessing that would be to our hearts tonight. And Lord, it'd be a blessing to their heart as they are confessing you before others. And Lord, we just want to thank you for all that you've done for us this evening. And Lord, pray that you'll keep us close to you. And now as we close with a hymn, Lord, bless it, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.